Thank you very much. So my name's Adrian. I work for ChainGuard, but I'm a technical community advocate, or DevRel. I do have a minor issue in that there's a rugby match on right now. I'm Scottish, and Scotland is playing Wales right now. So somebody scheduled my talk for the exact time of the rugby match. So I'm quite serious. If somebody can go and look up the scores and let me know what's happening, I would appreciate it. And you're all laughing and looking at me like I'm joking, but I am actually quite serious. Okay. So this is one of my favorite quotes about containers. Docker is doing to apt what apt did to tar. And that's by Brian Cantrell, who I guess a lot of you know. He works at Oxide now, but used to be at Sun and Joyent. He's done a whole bunch of stuff with containers and operating systems and so on. But the point is, in the old days, I guess we used tarballs. Like 20 years ago, people were shipping software around by sending people tarballs. And it kind of worked, especially like if you're just building from source, but you typically got into problems with dependencies. And if you tried to ship a binary, well, good luck, frankly. So then we got package managers. And package managers really kind of solved a whole bunch of these problems, right? They took care of getting you the right dependencies. And I think we kind of take package managers for granted now. But they are pretty cool, and people still have to put a lot of work into them. So if there's any sort of package manager maintainers out there, thank you. But having said that, all a package manager really is, or all a package really is a tarball plus some metadata about dependencies, right? And then if you take a Docker build, or a Docker, or a container image, well, that's really just an app or so on, plus some metadata about how to run it. But now we're containing all the dependencies down to the operating system level. So that's kind of what Brian was talking about here. And container images really are just the same, right? They're just a file system plus some metadata. There's OCI standards on exactly what the file system should look like. It's not too complicated. Some of the metadata does get a bit confusing, admittedly. There's a few levels of indirection. But it's not that complicated. Running and maintaining containers, okay, I will grant you that can get a lot more complicated. But that would be a very different talk to this one. So back in the early days of Docker and so on, this is how we built container images. And this is a pretty typical build. And people still do this kind of thing today. And it's okay, and it works. We're just using Golang, copied in our source code, running go build, and set an entry point. There are some problems with this. Primarily, you've got a big image here. I ran a build very similar to this one yesterday, and it was 892 megabytes. It's also got CVEs, like Golang image is based on build tools, which is based on Debian. And that base image, the scanners at least, scanners being like Trivy, Sneak, Gripe, things like that, they complain that it does have CVEs. Whether or not those are actually realistic CVEs, I'll let you figure out. There's also poor reproducibility. I've not helped things here by by writing from Golang. I should really, you could put like a digest there, and that would specify a specific image. But at the minute, each time you run this, you're going to get a very, well, not very different, but you're going to get a different build out. So one thing we can do that makes things a lot better is use a multi-stage build. So here we've got practically the same build as this one at the top. But what we're doing is we're taking the After Effect out and copying it on top of a production image. Now, for the production image, in this case, I've used this image, And this one has a chain guard static image. You could also totally use the Google diskless image, and you'll get pretty much the same thing. So what we were doing here, the other thing I had to do was set cgo enabled to 0, which tells Go to produce a static binary in most cases. There are a couple of gotchas. But we copy that binary onto the static image. So why can't I copy it onto, like, say, a scratch image, which is completely empty? Well, typically, you'll find that a lot of Unix app or Linux applications do require a few things to be available. For example, CA certificates for talking to, TLS to other web services. Quite often, applications expect things like /temp/home to be available. And that's basically what static and the distroless images give you. They give you sort of the bare minimum to run the typical statically compiled application. And if you do that, you get a much, much smaller image. Like I did that yesterday, that resulted in an 8.5 megabyte image as compared to the 892 megabyte image that's based on top of Golang. So that's an enormous saving. And that's not good just for security. It's also good just for like transferring it about and reproducibility and so on. This is still not completely reproducible because Docker build tends not to be completely reproducible. There is ongoing work on that. There was a great talk at DockerCon last year on exactly that subject. There is an issue with distroless. So in this example that we saw, we used a static image, which is for statically compiled binaries. So if you have a project that's running, say, Rust, Go, or something like that, where you can produce a static binary, that's perfect. But you can't use that for something like Java or Ruby or Node. In that case, you're going to need a different base image that has the runtime you need in it, at least. Now, Google distroless project does have a few of these. I believe they've got a Python one and a Java one, at least. At Chinga, we've got a whole bunch more. But yeah, even if you find a base image, you may still find that you need one or two more dependencies, which brings you to the point, well, can I create my own sort of distroless base images with the absolute minimum in them? And I should like make the point that these images are so minimal, they don't have like shells or package managers in them. They really are stripped down to just what you need at runtime. A quick aside, there is a project called KO, I'm not quite sure which. And this is like a really easy way to build a Go application into a distroless image. So instead of running Go build, you literally run Co build, and it builds your container image. And you don't even need Docker. It's just because like all it's really doing is producing the file system. There's no Docker involved. So that's really trivial to use. There's no configuration, literally. It's literally just Co build. And yeah, you might be thinking, well, hang on, how do you make these distroless images if you're not using Docker build and so on? And can you make your own distroless images? And the answer is you totally can. It's not that simple, though. If you look at how the Google Container Tools distroless images are made, they actually use Bazel, which, as some of you are probably aware, is the open source version of Blaze, which is the internal Google build system. Which is understandably quite complex. But basically, Google Container Tools distroless is Debian with almost everything stripped out. At ChainGuard, we did things a different way. We've got AppCo, which builds our container images, and you have to pair that with an operating system or package repository such as Wolfie, which is our one, or Alpine also works. You can't mix the two, though. Like Wolfie is based on glibc, and Alpine is based against Muzzle. So you can't mix packages at all. OK, so we'll see if this works. Here is the repository for the Go example for building with Bazel. So if you want to create a Docker image with Bazel, this is the simplest example for creating one with Go. And there's basically two, you know, there's like a Go program here. We won't bother looking at that. But we can look at, I think the two interesting ones are module and build. So we have module here. I think somewhere we'll see we specify the base image. So we're building on top of a distroless base image, and we're specifying the platforms. This bit's kind of interesting. If you use rules OCI in Bazel to build a container image, you do have to specify a base image, which is kind of a bit annoying, because you, when you're using something like Bazel, you really want to specify everything down to the ingredients. You know, part of the whole point of Bazel is to completely specify where everything comes from, but we have to pull in an image here. And there's no reason you couldn't create everything completely from scratch, because, again, a container image is just a file system, really. Okay, let's see if I can go back. And the other file is your build file. And okay, there's not too much in it, but there's a bit. And this is literally just to build that single, very simple Go application. So there is, when you decide to use Bazel, you suddenly got to bring in a whole bunch of stuff. But it does buy you a lot. There's a reason people like Google use it. There's excellent reproducibility. You run it twice, you get exactly the same binary artifact out. It is fast. There's a lot of, sort of levels of caching going on here. I think the main reason people use it, though, is for like provenance and so on. So if provenance and reproducibility are sort of essential to your organization, that's when you want to be looking at something like Bazel. Yeah, you can build totally minimal images with it, but as we saw there, it is a bit of a beast. You're bringing in a lot of stuff just to build a simple Go application in this case. So it's something you want to do for larger, more complicated systems, probably not for like a small open source project. Yeah, and there's the other issue about having to bring in a base image if you're using something like rules OCI. Yeah. I think you can chain images though. And if you compare this to what we do at ChainGuard, this is like how we build the Wolfie base image. So this is the entire app code for the Wolfie base image. If you run this, you'll get something very similar to the Wolfie base image you can download. So what we're saying is, first thing is we've got to point it at the package repository. In this case, I'm pointing at the Wolfie package repository. Could also use Alpine. And then I'm saying what packages I want to install in my image. So I'm saying we need CA certificates and Wolfie base. And if you do that, you end up with an image that's basically got BusyBox and a few other things in it and not a lot else. And glibc. Yeah, then you set some metadata on your image, things like entry point, CMD, and so on. And that's all you can do in APCO. Right? There's none of this, like in Docker, where you have run commands and you run arbitrary commands. You also can't add outside files in. Everything has to be in an APK package from a repository somewhere. That's all you can do. But because of that, it's a lot simpler. Hopefully that example was simpler to understand than, for example, the Bazel build. It's declarative. You're saying what you're doing. You can't do all this run imperative stuff. It's reproducible. If I run it twice, I will get the same result with the assumption that these packages haven't changed in the meantime. You can specify the exact version of packages as well, and there is support for getting like a lock file out with the exact versions of packages that you use. You do tend to get very low CV images from using this if you use Wolfie, just because we're really aggressive at keeping the Wolfie packages up to date, and they tend to have no CVEs. The other thing is, it composes well with Docker files. So like I said, all you can do in APCO is add in APKs. So if you want to add your own application in, well, you can use something like Melange, which is what we use internally to build APKs, or you can build a base image of APCO and then use like Docker or something to copy in your application on top of it, which is basically exactly what you're doing when you're using a multi-stage build with a chain guard static image. Drawbacks, I guess you are dependent on Alpine or Wolfie. So, you know, if you want a package that's not in there, you're going to have to create it yourself. Which you totally can do, you can use APK tools or you can use Melange, which is the ChainGuard version of APK tools. As an aside, there is also rules APCO for Bazel, which does kind of help with that issue I mentioned before about being able to build images in Bazel completely from scratch. So you can also check that out if you're interested. Oh, yeah, what's the score? Oh, that was unexpected, thank you. Who scored? No, don't worry. The other one I want to mention, Canonical Chiseled Containers. So I spent a little while looking at this. There are resources, you can totally download it and play with it, but there's not that much out there, to be honest. So this is the canonical version of distroless containers. They do seem to have produced minimal, low CV images, and they do look good, but there seems to be a very limited number of images they've created with this chisel mechanism. I could only find 3.NET images and a JRE image. You can create your own images, but it does seem a little bit complex. Basically, they have this idea of slices, or the idea that you can, I guess that's where the name chisel comes from, so you take an apt package and you chisel bits out that you're interested in or you're not interested in, one of the two. It does feel a bit like the problem is app packages are large, as opposed to with APK and other package managers where you have the idea of sub-packages. So we haven't had this problem in Wolfie because we just define sub-packages if you want a package that just has libraries, for example. I don't know enough about app to say if that would have been a reasonable other way to do it. But this chisel mechanism does look very manual. You end up having to specify paths, etc. The other thing is it's very much part of the canonical ecosystem. You know, you start seeing things like Snapcraft and Charms and so on. It very much ties into all that. Buildpacks, I didn't spend too long looking at this one. A lot of you are probably aware of buildpacks from the old Heroku days, which is where it all started. Then Pivotal did their version, and then they merged them together again. And now we have cloud-native buildpacks that build OCI images. The main selling point seems to be that it's easy to use and sort of automatic. So your build packs will look into your project, they'll see you've got a Python requirements.txt or you've got a node package.json and try to automatically configure a build pack to build on top of that, so you automatically get a container image out. From playing with it, it didn't seem to produce very small images. Maybe that was me holding it wrong. I don't think there's any reason it shouldn't produce small images. It just seems to be, it's all based on this idea of stacks, and the stacks, by default, aren't that small. It does definitely feel to me a bit one-size-fits-all. Have a look if you like. One thing I really do like that came out recently is BuildKit, BuildKit didn't come out recently, but Dagger came out recently. So BuildKit is the sort of engine behind Docker Build, and BuildKit is a lot more powerful than it appears from looking at Dockerfile. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do here about dependencies and resolution and caching. That's really quite powerful. And I think when they built BuildKit, they were hoping that there'd be much more sort of front ends created on top of BuildKit rather than just Dockerfile. But that's not really happened until now with Dagger. And Dagger really tries to take advantage of the power of BuildKit. I would say Dagger is much more designed for CI/CD. So the selling point of Dagger is to solve this problem that you have in CI/CD when, I'm sure we've all had like GitHub Actions where your action isn't working, so you like check in, try this, and then try 3, try 4, and you end up with try 26 of commits. Yeah, we've all been there? Yeah, it's a pain. And that's kind of what Dagger is trying to solve, the idea being that you can run Dagger locally and it'll build the same as it does locally as in a GitHub Action or CircleCI, etc. I don't think this example is very fair to Dagger because it's actually really large and powerful, but I wanted to give you sort of some flavor at least. So in this example, we're building a container, we're giving it a base image, we're telling it like a directory from the host to include. In this case, we're just including MD files, Markdown files, set in the work directory, then telling it to execute ls and output in the output from ls. So that's kind of what Dagger workflows look like. Rust has built a container, it's also done something with it. To me, it kind of feels similar in some ways to Bazel, but a lot simpler, right? Because now we have a build system that will build an entire sort of organization-wide project, if you like. I'm sure it does not offer the same provenance and so on guarantees. What I really mean is just that it's designed for a team to use as opposed to a single person. There is also a bunch of plugins. So the Dagger are working on something called the Daggerverse, and that includes plugins, including one for AppCo. However, having played with it, you're actually better off with a plugin for APKs. So Dagger can effectively recreate AppCo because they can, you can like create a file system from, or image from scratch and then just add in APKs using the plugin. And that, in some ways, will be better than AppCo because you'll get caching. And your sort of rebuilds will be much faster. So there's quite a strong argument for using Dagger there instead of AppCo. Next, how am I doing for time? Okay, we should be okay. So you don't need to understand all of Nix or even install it to play with Nix to build Docker images or container images. There's effectively two approaches. You can use packages.dockertools, or you can use flakes and copy them into an image. And I should say, I have definitely not understood very much of Nix, and I didn't install it. Here is packages.dockertools. So again, it's somewhat similar to Bazel or something like that. We're specifying the name of the image. We're saying we want the Redis package inside it and that it should be available at slash bin and mounting the volume, etc. Now, you should be able to build that. I tried building it on my Mac and it told me it wouldn't build because it required KVM. I don't 100% know if that's if there's some way I could work around that. That, I believe, will create something that's fully reproducible, so I run twice, it will give me a bitwise identical result. You should be able to create minimal images. I'm not 100% sure on that one. It is a full programming language, and you do sort of need to buy into the whole Nix ecosystem, but it does seem quite a powerful solution. Nix Flakes. So this is entirely stolen from Mitchell Hashimoto's blog, but it was really quite interesting. So the idea with Nix is when you install an application, you also get all of the dependencies of or a particular version of all its dependencies along with it, so that it always works wherever you put it. So there's no reason that you can't just take that whole file system tree and put it in a container, and it should just work, and it does. So the idea is to create a flake and copy it into an image using a Docker file, and that's pretty simple method, and it does work on my Mac. The whole sort of method is written up by Mitchell Hashimoto at this blog post. I could show you, but I'm running out of time. It is a little bit frustrating, because now we've put Docker into the mix, it's reduced the level of reproducibility. I think you should be able to make minimal images, but there is an issue in that it creates a slightly weird file system. The app, or the entry point, is a shell script which includes all the dependencies. So I guess you get forced to include bash or something. I'm not quite sure that's always the case or there's a workaround for that. I really need to play more with it. Yeah, but you do end up with a weird file system. So the problem with this solution is if you give it to somebody else and they try and debug it, they might well hit problems. Because you know, you do ls in the file system and you've got app and you've got nix store. You don't have your usual etsy and bin directories. Okay, so to wrap up, what would I recommend? If you want like a big organization-wide solution, if you need like provenance, reproducibility, and so on, you can totally go Bazel, but do be aware it can be a bit of a beast. I really like Dagger. I hope it does well. It is a new solution, so do be aware that it's still being built out. Yeah, and it definitely seems a good solution if you feel the pain in CI/CD, and I think everybody does. If you have a smaller project, the first thing I would generally look at is like ecosystem-specific build tooling. So like Co for Go, for example, because that's really simple, and you're pretty sure it's going to work and be low config. There is Jib for Java. I've not tried that one, but that would probably be the first thing I would try if I was doing Java again. Otherwise, there's nothing wrong with doing a multi-stage Docker build with distroless images. I totally would recommend looking at distroless images, though, to get a fully minimal production image. Appco, yeah, if you want to, if you need a bit more flexibility in creating your sort of base image, please go and have a look at Appco. And then finally, the Nix stuff, yeah, that could well be a solution if, totally if you understand Nix and you've bought into that ecosystem. Okay, what's the score? Pretty good day, thank you.